But first to some new research on Taiwan that will undoubtedly ruffle a few feathers in Beijing. China claims to have ruled the disputed island of Taiwan since ancient times. Indeed, the preamble of the Chinese constitution describes Taiwan as part of its, quote, sacred territory. But Taiwanese expert Professor Bruce Jacobs from Monash University says these claims have no historical basis. According to his latest study, despite a brief period between 1945 and 1949, Taiwan has never actually been ruled by mainland China. Professor Jacobs is now calling for a reinterpretation of Taiwan's history, one that sees the Chinese state as having been just one of six colonial powers to have ruled over the island. He also says that since the advent of democracy in 1988, the people of Taiwan have begun to increasingly identify as Taiwanese and explicitly less as Chinese. Professor Jacobs joins me now. Welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you.
You're arguing for an alternative framework to understand Taiwan's history. What exactly does this entail?
Well, the Chinese claim that Taiwan has been part of China since the year Dot is just incorrect. And when the Dutch came and established their colony in Taiwan in 1624, there were no permanent Han Chinese communities in Taiwan. There were some people Chinese, and there were Japanese, and there were other peoples that came and traded with the Aborigines. And there were some that came temporarily for fishing, and there were some pirates that came temporarily to hide. But there were no permanent Han Chinese communities. And it was only after 1624 that the Dutch colonial regime in Taiwan recruited Han Chinese in for labor, for agriculture and other sorts of labor. There's a whole myth here that this has been Chinese from the year Dot, but it isn't correct.
And having studied Taiwan for many years, you contend that China's claims to the island are not based on history, but on political assertions. Now, how do you support that?
Well, the real issue is that at the end of World War II in 1945, the Chinese nationalists took over Taiwan. In fact, the Chinese communists and the Chinese nationalists had only 3 years previously said Taiwan belonged to China. So it was late as 1942 that either the Chinese nationalists, the Kuomintang, or the Chinese communists claimed Taiwan as Chinese. But then after the war, the Chinese nationalists came and took over Taiwan, and over from the defeated Japanese forces, and they instituted a new colonial regime that was very similar to the Japanese colonial regime, and they pushed very hard their perspective, which was that Taiwan belonged to China, and that filled the education system. But in fact, there was systematic discrimination against Taiwanese, just as there had been under the Japanese. So Taiwanese couldn't hold high positions. They were distinctly second-class citizens. And that continued right through 1988 when President Chiang Kai-shek's son, President Chiang Ching-kuo, died. It was only with democratization that Taiwanese began to have a proper role in their society.
Yes, this is very interesting because, I mean, you do, you know, we didn't say earlier the series of colonial overlords, the Dutch, then the Spanish, from 1626 to 1642, the Cheng family up to 1683, the Manchus up to 1895, the Japanese 1895 to 1945, and then the Chinese nationalists. Are the Taiwanese aware themselves of this history?
Well, I think some are and some aren't. Certainly those that are more politically aware and aware of their history are. But there are others who, you know, say, really? And it's because the education they had under the Chinese nationalist government that Taiwan is Chinese was quite pervasive. And I think this is what shows these great changes in identity that are taking place. So when the surveys began in the early period of democratization, one in six persons identified as only Taiwanese. And one in four persons identified as only Chinese. So there were more people identifying as Chinese. Now those that identify as only Chinese is less than 4%, and those that identify as only Taiwanese is over 60%. There's one other thing I'd like to, that was in your intro, which I think is, again, one of the problems we have in interpreting China. You talked about the Qing Dynasty, which is the Manchu Empire, as Chinese, but it isn't. China was a colony of the Manchus. Manchu rule was foreign rule as far as the Chinese were concerned. And Sun Yat-sen and others who were active in overthrowing the Manchus, they hated the Manchus because they saw this as foreign rule. So when we talk about the period of 200 years where the Manchus controlled Taiwan, they also controlled China. To call this Chinese is incorrect.
And well, in fact, you actually have this lovely line that even that Mao Zedong said that Taiwan should become an independent state.
That's right. And I think this, but this understanding of what the Manchus were, I think is important. And if you go back to the records in English, they'll often say China, but actually if you go to the Chinese or Japanese original, it says Daqing, which means the great Manchu Empire.
Mm. So, but look, if you're right, I mean, most of Taiwan's population, I'm right, am I not, are now Han Chinese.
Well, the word Han Chinese is already a questionable one on whether... I mean, there's been DNA evidence and stuff that raises it, but it's a construct that's been raised. It's true to say that close to maybe 97-98% of the population, ancestors were migrants from China. But you can't then say these are still Chinese. I mean, in Australia, how many of us are still Brits, even though, you know, we have a British background? And certainly, you know, Britons also founded the United States, so they had a revolution. But are they still Brits? If you just say because of ancestor, they have their ancestry forever and a day, then both the United States and Australia and New Zealand, all of those would be British, still British.
But do they see themselves as we do, as a migrant culture or not?
Yes. Yes,
they do.
They do see themselves as a migrant culture and as a multicultural culture. And in this period where you had these various colonial regimes, there was a lot of trade. So Taiwan is in many ways a very multicultural, outward-looking society today.
If, as you say, Taiwan's population wants a future separate from China, related to these numbers who identify themselves as Taiwanese, why has the pro-unification Kuomintang Party remained in power for the past 7 years? They won a landslide victory in 2008 against Taiwan's nationalists.
That's a good question, but I think, it distorts the reality. The Kuomintang itself is not pro-unification. And there's a lot of different groupings within the Kuomintang, and many of them are also very pro-Taiwanese. Probably the leading candidate for the next presidential election has a very strong Taiwan identity. And even President Ma Ying-jeou, who was pushed hard that relations with China should be closer, has had to pull back on many occasions, partly because of Chinese obstinacy. And recently, President Xi Jinping in China said that the old one country, two systems policy should continue. And of course, that was immediately rejected by President Ma.
Look, finally, you propose that Taiwan reassert its history as one of decolonization over and above the Chinese framework of independence versus unification. I wonder what you can hope to achieve by advancing that idea. I mean, in some ways, it sounds like tilting at windmills to me.
It's one of several ideas that are out, and I threw this out because in the context of the paper you've read and the talks that I've been giving on this, I was emphasizing that Taiwan had a colonial history, and many countries around the world have decolonized. And in that sense, Taiwan would gain friends around the world having been through a similar experience. But it's not the solve all the problems solution. And I think Taiwan needs to, in terms of its strategic and foreign policies, it needs to face the question that China, in fact, is the main threat. And there are
The main threat to Taiwan.
I mean, it's quite clear there's no other threats.
Could be its main ally, too, I suppose, isn't it?
No.
Oh, no?
No. The Chinese want to control Taiwan, and they don't want it to be flourishing as this independent, democratic society.
Well, I wasn't going to go here, but I was very quickly. Might they not see themselves as having, you know, a nice autonomous region that makes a heck of a lot of money, the most extraordinary foreign reserves in the world, I think, sitting there? Why would they be interested in nobbling that?
You're talking about China?
Yes.
Well, all the so-called autonomous regions are actually colonial regions, where if you take Tibet or you take Xinjiang, which is basically, I think the proper name for it is East Turkestan. These are areas which are never controlled by China for at least the last 2,000 years. And what the Chinese state has instituted today is a colonial government. It's run by Han Chinese. Han Chinese companies take the resources, the monies go back to China. Even the local people hardly ever get hired for anything. So recently there was a mine disaster from an earthquake in Tibet, and it turned out, if you just look at the name list, most of the people that were killed were Han Chinese. They weren't Tibetans. So what China has actually instituted in these areas is a very harsh rule.
Professor Bruce Jacobs, it's a nice provocative little piece from you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Geraldine.
And Bruce is Professor of Asian Languages and Studies at Monash University. His article is Wither Taiwanization, the Colonization, Democratization and Taiwanization of Taiwan. And that's a book from 2013. And we'll have a link on our website to his latest paper that he delivered at the Australian Institute of International Affairs.